Thank you, Rabbi Kelman. Thank you, Torah in Motion, again, for all the amazing work that you do in Toronto and beyond. Everybody's influenced and impact. And of course, this morning, we all feel a lot of mixed emotions. On the one hand, we feel very much like, you know, it was a kind of Pesach miracle that they sent 300 missiles and it seems nobody was killed so far, and that's an amazing thing. And so the Gemara says that the rabbis criticized Chizkiyahu because he didn't say Hoda'ah. So this morning in my shul, we said two paragraphs from Hallel, Hodu Lashem Kitov, and then we also said Tehillim. We're Moda al Ha'avar. And we're mevakesh al ha'atid, that hopefully things don't get worse, but we'll calm down, and everyone will be safe and secure. So, so we have that sense, very Pesach, sense as we go to. Okay. So I was asked to speak, by Rabbi Kelman about the Eser Makot. I just caught the last minute of Rav Yitz's shir. So there might be, I don't know how much, he spent on the Eser Makot. So
almost nothing. Almost nothing. Okay. Just to the end then, Jeb Yachitzka, how do you get the Medrash?
Okay, so I just I heard a drop that might be overlapping, which is kind of good because it's you know, Kivanti Ligdolim. Okay. So let's start. I just want again, obviously there's a tremendous amount of stuff to do on the Eser Makot. Many have written about the Eser Makot. I just want to focus on two ways of approaching the Eser Makot, one which is very well known, which is less well known, and with that we'll present the Dvar Torah, and we'll hopefully be able to finish that. So first of all, when just to let me get my my text out, when we look at the Eser Makot, on one level they seem to be superfluous. What I mean by superfluous, or in the sense of, you know, why did we need so many makot? In fact, if you look, and I'm going to put this on, Shmot Perek Dalet. So I'll go to my Shmot Perek Dalet. So let me just get my share, my screen. So if we look in Shmot Perek Dalet, we see that after Moses has the back and forth with God about whether he wants to go, whether he doesn't want to go, and God ultimately convinces him, coerces him, whatever term you want to use, to take up the mantle. So we have that very strange story, which I've talked about in the past, but I'm not talking about today. But God tells Moses to go back to Egypt. And God says to Moshe, Vayomer Hashem, in chapter 4, verse 21, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Belechtecha lashuv Mitzrayim, Re'e kol ha-moftim asher samti biyadecha. When you go back to Egypt, Re'e kol ha-moftim asher samti biyadecha, look at all the great miracles that I have put in your hand. Vasitam lifnei paro. You're going to do them. Vaniyah chazek et libo, v'lo yishalach et ha'am. He's not going to send you out. From the very beginning, God reveals the methodology. Va'amartel paro, ko amar Hashem, b'ni b'chor Yisrael, va'omar, eilecha, shalach et b'ni v'yavdeini, va'tema'en l'shalcho, hine enochi holech, horeg et b'incha b'chorecha. So from the very outset of the story, God already gives up the ghost. God already tells Moses that he is going to encounter resistance. Resistance, at least partially, which God himself is going to make happen. And God says, what's going to cause him to finally let the Jews out is, I'm going to kill your firstborn. And it's a beautiful midah kineged midah. You should tell him, Komar Hashem b'ni b'chor Yisrael, the Jewish people are my b'chor. You've oppressed my b'chor. You've oppressed all of my children. So you are now not going to be able, you know, to do that, period. So it's pretty clear. And in a certain sense, we have It's all done. You know, God should have just come down, done the Makat Bechorot, take the Jewish people out, and finish, shine. The whole thing would have been finished in one day. And if, in fact, the goal of the Eser Makot is exclusively to take the Jewish people out of Egypt and punish the Egyptians for messing with God's Bechor, then Makat Bechorot should have been more than enough. It was announced. It was clear. It's a Mida Keneged Mida. Clearly, from the very outset, if we need Eser Makot, God has some other plan. But the Eser Makot, in addition to simply taking the Jewish people out of Egypt. And so throughout the story, there are all kinds of elements, all kinds of hints that there are ulterior motives to the Eser Makot besides the direct taking out of Am Yisrael from Egypt and the punishment of the Egyptians. And, you know, it's strewn throughout the Exodus story. Number one, God says, "U'b'chol Elohei Mitzrayim Eseh Shvatim," I'm going to, so to speak, show and punish the Egyptian gods that they so believed in. And so you have a whole literature within both traditional circles, but especially in the scholarly world of the last 100 years, about how each one of the Makot is an attack on one of the gods or powers that the Egyptians worshipped. You have the statements that talk about God wanted to be Mikayim the Havtacha to the Avot. God wanted to fulfill the promise that he made to the forefathers. You have the fact that God wants to show that he is master of the world. And so you have all kinds of hints that many of the Makot seem to show God's power of creation. We have echoes of creation story at the beginning of the Makot, and especially in the story of Kriyat Yamsuf, a tremendously kind of cherry on top, which has echoes of Biriyat Olam, of the creation of the world. So we have many, many matarot, many different goals. And again, I want to just hone in on a few of those goals that are specific to the structure of the Makot. When we talk about the Makot, we talk about the structure of the Makot, we basically have two famous structures. We have one very famous structure, one less famous structure, and one structure that we don't think about kim'at at all, right? If you look in the Haggadah, right? If you look at the Haggadah that we use on Pesach, so specifically in that Midrash, I thought I brought my Haggadah with me up here. Haggadah. Look at the Haggadah. Okay. Anyway, so if you remember, if you have a Haggadah in front of you, so the Haggadah makes it very clear in that Midrash that basically one Midrash talks about Biyad Chazaka u'Bizro Netuya. It talks about the Cherev and the Dever, which is what Rav Yitz was talking about, Rav Yitz spoke about, which seems to point to, and some of the Mefarshim point to five and five, that we can divide the Makot, like the Luchot. We can divide the Luchot into five and five. We can divide the Makot into five and five. How exactly the five and five works, it seems to be Dever representing, you know, Dever, and Cherev. Dever is the last of the fifth Makot, and Cherev represents the Makat Bechorot. So you have kind of five and five. You also have that Davar Acher in the Haggadah, which talks about two and two and two and two, Biyad Chazaka Shtaim, Ubizra Netuya Shtaim, Ubizra Shtaim, which comes to Eser Makot. So that seems to be a division of two and two and two and two and two, which is also a very strange division, etc. Today I want to talk about two other divisions, which are more famous, so to speak, or at least one of them, and that's the division that we have from Rabbi Yehuda, the Tzach, right? Adash Be'achav. 3, 3, and 4. So really 3, 3, 3, and 1. The division of 3, 3, 3, and 1. So let's start with that division. And then at the second part of the Dvar Torah of the Shir, we'll talk about the other division, which is the division of 3 and 7, or 7 and 3. So the division of 3, 3, and 3 is, you know, very famous. And many of the Rishonim hinted at it. And certainly many of the Achronim, the Abarbanel, and many writers, modern writers, Nachum Sarna and many others, have devoted great energy to the fact that we have, you know, divisions of three, three and three. And so you can talk about the Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, right? And then, and you talk about the goal there very clearly, is, in addition to, getting Paro to let the Jewish people go, you have, a statement, made. So if we turn to chapter 7, right, when we start with the Makot, so it's very clear, he sends him, so it says, "Vayom Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron ki daber aleichem paro l'mor tnu lachem mofet v'amarta l'Aaron kach et matcha v'ashleich lifnei." So it should be a tanin. First of all, you have the tanin story, which of course it's to teach this, to teach that. But then when we come leich el paro, vayomer Hashem el paro. So let's look at the elements of each unit. Number one, so we have Dam Tzvardeya Kinim, the first unit. So we have Paro Baboker in the morning. He's going to the water. Probably some sort of euphemism for going to the bathroom. Etc., etc. The phrase is, "Bizot teida ki ani Hashem." You will know that I am God. Of course, it echoes the fact that we remember that when Moses first came to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "Mi Hashem asher eshma b'kolo?" Who is this God? I don't know him. Right? If we look back in chapter 5, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes, "Mi Hashem asher eshma b'kolo l'shalach et Yisrael, lo yadati et Hashem, v'gam et Yisrael lo ashalach." Both goals are, at this point, not going to happen. I'm not going to let the Jews out, and I don't know who this God is. So now when we come back to chapter 7, we come back, and God says, let my people go. He sends him in the morning. He gives him a warning, etc. And says, "Shalach et ami v'avduni, b'zot teida ki ani Hashem, hinanochi," etc. That's the first one. And that's exactly what happens. And unfortunately, Paro doesn't listen. The next one, Dam Tzvardeya. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, bo el Paro. This time it's just go to Pharaoh. Vayomer Tailav, komar Hashem shalach et ami v'avduni. But once again, there's a warning. V'ma'ein ata l'shalach, hinei anochi nogef et kol gucha b'tzvardeim. V'sharat sayor, etc., etc. We go to chapter 8. In chapter 8, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, mor el Aaron, neteit yadcha b'matea al ha'arot. Once again, Aaron is involved. And you have Aaron raising the staff. And of course, you have the Tzvardeim. Once again, you have the Chartumim. The Chartumim, just like in chapter 7, the Chartumim in Dam can also do, okay? Vayikra gam paro lachachamim v'alemachashvim vayasu gam heim Chartumim Yitzrayim b'la'ahiten. So too, here, when it comes to the Tzvardeya, the Chartumim also can do something. Vayasuke nachar tumi vayilu et tzvardim al kol, etc., etc. Then, of course, we come to the third of this first unit. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe emor el Aharon netet et matecha v'achach et ha'afar v'yalekinim v'yasuchein v'chulei v'chulei. Vayasuchein achar tumi melatehem. So in the first unit, we have a clear progression. The goal is, V'yad'u ki ani Hashem. Moses In the first two of the three of the set, Moses gives a warning. Aaron is involved in all of these things. The Chartumim are able to do everything in this set. So that's the first unit. The first unit is Makkah 1, Plague 1 and Plague 2, there's a Hatra'ah, there's a warning. It happens Baboker. The first one happens Baboker. Aaron is involved in all three. And the Chartumim are able to do everything or some of what Moses did. However, here, when it comes to the Kinim, in the third one, we have the fact that the Chartumim try to do it, but they're not able to. Vayasu chen Chartumim v'latehem lotzi et hakinim v'lo yacholu v'tihi hakinam v'adam v'abhema v'yomar Chartumim etz pelukim hi v'yechazek leiv paro v'lo shama lehem. So this is the first unit finished. Dam tzvadei hakinim. The second unit begins again in the same way. Vayomar Hashem el Moshe hashkem baboker. V'tyatzev lifnei paro hinei yotzei hamayma. Once again, in the morning, the warning is given in the morning. Ki mencha meshalech tamim hinei meshalech bracha, etc., etc. Now this time, there is no Aaron, doing this. It's Moshe doing it. So we have clearly, there's a new element. Number two, Moshe says, that the purpose here is that we shall go out and serve in the desert. And there's a new element that's introduced here. He says, ki im eincha mishaleach et aminim mishaleach b'cha, etc. Umalu b'atem mitzrayim et ha'ro v'cha, etc. V'hi fleiti b'yomahu et eretz goshen ha'shem yoved amed aleach l'vilti ha'yot sham ha'ro l'man teida ki ani ha'shem b'kerev ha'aretz. There's a new element here. Segregation, division, havdalah. There's going to be a hafla'ah, a difference between the Jews and the Egyptians. Between the Jews who live in Egypt, they're not going to be punished. They're not going to experience it. L'man teida k'ani Hashem b'kerev ha'aretz. To see that I'm not just God, v'yadu k'ani Hashem, which is the first three. I'm not just the first cause, Aristotle's God. I'm also the Kuzari's God. I'm the God who's involved in here. I'm not a deist, but I'm a theist. I'm actually involved in the world. V'samti pidut bein ami u'bein amech l'machar yeh ha'ot hazeh. The key idea here is v'hifleiti and pidut, distinction, discrimination, segregation, havdalah, whatever term you want to use. Okay? That is the first, arov. Once again, Pharaoh does not listen about what's happening. And notice in this one, it's on the ground itself. It's on the ground itself. It's not in the sky. It's not in the water. It's on the ground itself, the arov, whatever arov actually means. The next makkah, of course, that we get to is dever. Once again, dever kaved ma'od. Once again, v'hifla Hashem bein miknei Yisrael bein miknei Mitzrayim. There's going to be a distinction between Mitzrayim and Yisrael. V'yasem Hashem moed l'mar, machar yaseh Hashem et hadavar hazeh. Once again, it is, there's hatra'ah, there's warning, and then God does this the next day. The second in this, the third is, of course, k'chu melo chofneichem, piach ha'kivshan, Uzrako Hashamaima and Lene Paro, Vaya Lavak, Vaya Aladam Albema Lishim, Vaikhu et Piach, etc., etc. Velo Yahlu Achartumim Lamod Lifne Moshe, Mipne Hashrin, Ki Hayashrin Bachartumil Chomitzrayim. This time, of course, it's on the body of the Chartumim. They can't do anything. They don't even try to do anything. At the end of this unit, it's not just the Chartumim can't do it like at the end of the first unit. In this, they simply give up and they say, Ki haya shchin b'chartumim u'b'chol Mitzrayim. They can't even stand before a Pharaoh, which of course is ironic because Moshe and Aaron, who, so to speak, are the outsiders, they're the ones who can stand before Pharaoh and talk to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh what to do. They become the Chartumim of Pharaoh. The final unit starts again in the same way. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hashkein baboker, in the morning. Vityatzev lifnei paro. Komar Hashem Elohei Ivrim, shalach et ami v'yavduni, ki bapam hazot ani sholech kol magefotai alibecha. And this time, the key word is, v'yad'u bavur teda ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz. You will know that there is nobody like me on the land. There's nobody like me on the land. Okay? And that's exactly what Moses does. And this is what we call barad. Once again, we then turn to the eighth makkah, and we take the eighth makkah, and the makkah says, the eighth makkah, which is, of course, Arbe, and the eighth makkah of Arbe, it says, in addition to it says, Moses comes, he brings it, the eighth makkah, v'chisa et ein ha'aretz, etc., etc., asher lo ra'u avotecha v'avot avotecha miyom yotam. Once again, this idea of v'yad'u ki ein kamoni b'keravat. It's not just that God is involved in the world, but God does something that nobody else can do. And so the key term here is, these are things that have never happened in the history of Egypt. Asher lo ra'u avotecha, just like the barav, ein kamohu, so too. And the same thing with the choshech. Finally comes the choshech, the last of the last three of the third unit. Etc., etc. Velo ra'u ishet achiv, etc., etc. And they weren't able to do this. And of course, it ends off with the makat bechorot, where we have the fact that there will be a cry, if I'm not mistaken, where God says there's a cry that will never be heard. So that is the classic division that we have of the Makot. 3-3-3 with this. The other division, and again, if I had more time, I could develop it further. The other division, right, Rabbi Kalman, next time you got to give us all 45 minutes. Okay, half an hour is too short.
Then would division, be your all day until Pesach. That's right, you're right. That's the struggle we have. Yeah.
I know. So okay. The last, the other division, if we go back to chapter 7, just very quickly, let me focus on, if you look carefully at the first 7, so they are all makot, but it's interesting that the barad, when we get to barad, the barad ends with a very strange, not a strange, but a very striking statement. The barad, which is number 7, and of course we all know that 7 is a very significant number, 7 and 3, 7 and 10 are played with throughout the Bible. So when we get to barad, so the Bible uses a very strong term. It says, "Hityatzev lifnei paramart lav komar leshalachdami ki bapam azot ani sholech et kol magefotai alibecha uba'avadecha ubamecha." It sounds like this is the climax of the whole story. Hinei anochi sholech et kol magefotai alibecha. It sounds like Barad is the end, and on some level, Barad is the end. Ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz v'chulei v'chulei. This had never happened in Mitzrayim. This is the first time that that phrase is used. And not only that, the Bible says, the Bible tells us that there were Mitzrayim who decided to go on the side of the Jews, who became like Jews because they were separated. And the Barad comes, and it's at the Barad that Paro says, "Vayishlach Paro, vayikral Moshe l'Aron, v'yomer, chatati apam, Hashem atzadik, v'ani yamushim." It's clearly a sense that this is a break. This is the first time Pharaoh has said this. Everything is, so to speak, done at this point. And it could have been a turning point at this point. And they could have known it, but clearly God wants to do something more. Because the Bible says, Vayosef lachto, Lechazak lev paro, v'lo shilach b'nei Yisrael kasher dibir Hashem. And that leads to chapter 10. That leads us to chapter 10. V'yomar Hashem al Moshe, bo el paro, ki anich bari et libo v'et lev avdav, l'man shiti ototai ele b'kirbo. But here is the Kiddush, the last three for the first time. Uleman tisaper beoznei bincha uben bincha et asher italalti b'mitzrayim v'tototai asher samti bam. V'idatem keni Hashem. The last three makot, in addition to doing whatever they do, they also are educational for Am Yisrael. Uleman tisaper beoznei bincha uben bincha et asher italalti b'mitzrayim v'tototai asher samti bam. Ve'avo Moshe ve'aron paro ve'emru komar Hashem Elohei Avrim ad matayim ayanta anu b'nai shalach ami v'yamduni. And then comes the arbe, the choshech, and the makat b'chorot, which is ki'ein kamo b'kerav aretz, but it's ultimately also to teach the Jewish people. So whatever happened with Pharaoh, the focus was the first seven makot. There's a completion, there's a climax. The next, certainly, three makot are about, in addition to whatever they're doing for Pharaoh, they're also teaching the Jewish people about ki ani Hashem ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz. And ultimately, then comes makat b'chorot, which kind of closes the circle and, you know, fulfills the original destiny of bringing out the Jewish people from the story. And it's at that point where Pharaoh could have, you know, Pharaoh should, where Pharaoh said chatati apam, and then he changes his mind, so to speak, is a critical juncture. Again, if we had more time, we would develop it even further to show what's going on in terms of the story. Okay, I thank everybody for listening. I wish everybody a wonderful chag. Chag Sameach, and we should continue to see, as the Navi says, Kimei Mitzrayim Erenu Niflaot. We should be able to see continuing miracles and of what we've seen last night, and also continuing for Am Yisrael, and hopefully things will get better and not, God forbid, get worse. And wish everybody a Chag Kasher V'Sameach.
Thank you very much.